Hey everybody, it's Leonardo Dezender here, and we're going to jump right into Romans chapter 9, verse 14. Why? Because we can. We are so privileged to have this Word of God here, and it's complete, and everything God wants us to know has been written down, and we only have to make sure that we're reading exactly what He wrote. And that means you need to get a good translation. It sounds like I'm building up into an advertisement for the Concordant Literal New Testament. Well, I might as well go ahead and do it. You know, if you're going to read the Bible 15 minutes, why bother? Why bother reading the Bible for your 15 minutes a day if you're not even reading what God said? You got to know what God said. You can base whole doctrines on wrong translations. It's not even what God said. How many times have I heard people arguing? And the first question I ask is, well, are we arguing about the right thing? Is this what God said? One word makes huge difference in the Scriptures, obviously. We don't have that problem here at Zender Talk because we're using an accurate translation that's consistent. Somebody just wrote me recently, why do you read the Concordant Literal New Testament? And what makes you trust it? Well, because it gives you the tools right in the back to check the compilers and to see that they're consistent. They take this one Greek word and they give it one English equivalent and then they lock it in. They don't use that English word for any other Greek word. That's genius. It's simple, but it's genius because all these other translators, they're not really translating, they're interpreting. They don't have a system. They don't lock in the definitions before they translate. You see, if you lock in the definitions before you translate, then every time you see a Greek word, you put that meaning for it. For instance, if you determine ahead of time that Hades means unseen, then you'll put every time you see Hades in the text, you'll put unseen. You won't try to interpret the passage and then color it with your interpretation. You'll just, okay, that's unseen. You see ion, you use eon every single time. You see cosmos, you put world. You don't put world for ion. You put world for cosmos, and you keep it consistent. And then when you do it that way, then you yourself have to step back and see what you've created. You see, if you translate first, then read, if you fix the definitions, then step back, and it's like, wow, look what this just said. That's a whole lot different, I think you can see, than reading the passage and saying, well, that word doesn't seem to agree with our doctrine, so we're going to make eon eternal here. Well, that's bad translating. So on we go, confidently. And I checked this out for myself for 15, 20 years. And 20 years, I keep saying 15, it's 20 years. Time flies on me. I don't know what's going on time-wise here. 9:14, what then shall we be declaring? Not that there is injustice with God, may it not be coming to that. That's huge right there. Because it seems unjust of God to call some and not others. It doesn't make sense to us. And if we think God is unjust, then we're not going to rest. And it seems like God's not calling who He should be calling today. Like, why does He call me? I'm an idiot. Why me? Why me? There's so many more worthy people. My granny, you know. Gosh, why doesn't He call her? She's such a good person, and yet she's trapped in a religion, and He takes me, an idiot, and He calls me. Well, it's 1 Corinthians 1:28 or somewhere around there that God is not calling many wise today, not many noble. There are not many like granny that He's calling. He's calling people who are rough around the edges, like you and like me. I would have been a little bit insulted if I had been the Corinthians and Paul wrote that to me. Consider your calling, brethren. Look at yourselves. It's obvious God doesn't call many wise people, many noble. It's like, hey, you talking to me? Yeah, well, that's the way God does it. And it's not unjust of God, because look, we're going to get in here in Romans 9 that God's the potter, we're the clay. We talked about that a few weeks back. And so who owns the clay? God owns the clay, and he has the right to do what he will with the clay. I often tell people, God loves your children more than you do. This is such a walk of faith right now. Faith, faith, faith. That's the keynote. That is everything today. You got to believe. You got to keep believing. Look at Abraham. He's the father of faith. God told him that you're going to be a father of many nations. Next thing you know, a year goes by. 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 30. Abraham can't bear children anymore. His wife doesn't work anymore in that department. And so it's crazy. How long is God going to go? I often get frustrated at God because how long are you going to go? How long? Again, the Israelites said the same thing when they were in Egypt. And no doubt Daniel groaned and the people groaned when they were in Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar took them into captivity. And so we're in a kind of captivity now. We see all our friends and family who don't get it. God, how long? But God is not unjust. He's righteous. That's the word justice. Right, just, right. Same root word in the Greek. He's right. He knows exactly what he's doing, and his timing is perfect. Romans 9. What then shall we be declaring? Not that there is injustice with God, may it not be coming to that. For to Moses he is saying, I shall be merciful to whomever I may be merciful, and I shall be pitying whoever I may be pitying. Now this sounds like God's flashing his badge or something, or showing us his credentials, or saying, look, I'm God, and that's just the way it is. But I don't want you to see it this way. It sounds like that coming from God, but it's not that way. He's saying this to comfort Paul. Paul's using this whole section to comfort himself concerning his pain of 9:1. That's what this is all about. Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul's on a sidetrack here concerning Israel. And his first statement is, his first statement should have been, I'm pained about my people. But instead, he lays that down, the scroll work there. All inspired. I'm sorry, Paul. It's all inspired. But everything after this is comforting himself. So God says, I shall be merciful to whomever I may be merciful. I shall be pitying whomever I may be pitying. But it's nice to keep in mind the goal. If you think that that's the end, and this is what many people think, is why they hate to go to Romans 9. How many times have I taken friends and acquaintances to Romans 9, and it's like, oh God, do we have to go there? They don't like it because they see this and they think God is cruel and God is hard. What do you mean? I may be pitying whomever I may be pitying, and if I'm going to harden them, then by God, I'll harden them. And they get mad at that because they think that the people God hardens are going to be lost forever. And if you think that the people God hardens are going to be lost forever, then how the heck can you believe God is just? You can't. So I'm going to go to the end of the story right now. It's the middle of the week, but I'm going to go to the end of the story. And this is how Paul ends up comforting himself. But thus all Israel shall be saved. Romans 11, 26. I'm not going to keep you in suspense. If you're reading a novel, you don't want to read the end because you want to be in suspense. But when I read verses like, I shall harden whomever I will harden, have mercy on whom I will have mercy, you don't want to be in suspense. You look at the end of the story and you see that all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. Verse 26. Arriving out of Zion shall be the rescuer. Romans 11 26, he will be turning irreverence away from Jacob. He will be turning irreverence away from Jacob. He will be turning away irreverence from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them. Remember, I have a covenant with these people whenever I should be eliminating their sins. Now, you go back to Romans 9 and Paul, what the unintermittent pain that's in my heart. And then he goes back in time, reviews for himself, God is sovereign, God is not unjust, God is doing what he's doing now for a reason, he has a purpose, and the end result's going to be that he's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Oh, we have a promise too. God is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers. As in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Yet every man in his own class in His own order, rank, and file. That's God's department. He's going to do it. In the meantime, you got to hang on for the ride and trust that He knows what He's doing. That's enough for today. I'm Martin Zender. Be here tomorrow.